You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 10. This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be. Okay, welcome back to episode number 10.
Hey guys, welcome back. Happy you're still listening.
Yes, we are loving the how many people are listening and sharing and such nice reviews that totally make our day.
They seriously are making our day. It makes us so happy each time a new review pops up on iTunes. So today I'm going to read you another one, and this one is from, oh, you guys give us hard names, Anzianoben. And she says, such a helpful resource. I found this podcast randomly and was so pumped to find such a great resource. Karen and Meg offer experienced perspectives along with notes of outside research that support, encourage, and cheer on homeschool. I needed this and am now waiting for each episode to release. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for your kind review. We loved it.
Yes, thank you so much. And we love doing this anyway and helping, but it's nice that it's actually useful and helpful for you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
So thank you for your questions, and we hope to get to them and your nice reviews. So continue to subscribe and leave us wicked awesome reviews because we love them all.
Wicked awesome.
Yes.
Yes. That's a New England phrase. All right. So today we're excited about our topic. This is about how to homeschool preschoolers. And I know a lot of people have preschoolers that they're homeschooling. It's where most people start out.
Yes.
And get that urge to start homeschooling. And that's what I did also. So yeah, we're going to share our tips with you today on what we do with our little preschoolers.
Yes, it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's been great. I've been in a lot of Facebook homeschool groups. And preschool is one that I see a lot of moms really worried about when you're starting, and it's those fears like, when is my kid going to read? Yeah. And do they know all the states and their capitals? And I think you put a lot of unneeded fear upon yourself and work.
Okay, just a little story that popped in my head. I was traveling last week and I was in an airport bathroom. I know, random, but there was this little tiny boy. He was probably three. And he was listing off in order all of the presidents of the United States, going through all the presidents. And it just made me laugh. And I was like, man, that little kid knows so much. And for a moment, it gave me this pang of, my five-year-old doesn't even know that. You know, that moment of comparison that have. And then I remembered that I'm okay with that. And she'll learn it eventually. And it's okay. That's probably a very abnormal circumstance. It is. It is. It's not probably. It is a very abnormal circumstance for a child of that age to know something like that. But it was so adorable.
Yeah, it is cute. And I know for me, when I was starting, I was so worried what other people were going to say. Mm-hmm. Like, your kids are kind of stupid. Mm-hmm. Or they're slow. What are you doing? Are you really homeschooling them? Or are you playing and calling it homeschool? So I know when I started, I liked the showy things.
Yeah.
Like, here are my children, and they are going to
smart they are.
Sing these songs. They actually do know
the
president.
Smart.
Yes.
One. I know we have those too.
And because mine really can sing the presidents, because I really wanted them to be able, and it's all for me. Like, I wanted to look good for other people. Like, look how wonderful my kids are. Aren't I doing an amazing job homeschooling?
Yeah.
And with each kid, I realized I don't care what other people think because I know I'm awesome. And I have learned to relax greatly with every stinking kid.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. So I have had a lot of preschool teaching experience before I even was teaching my own. I worked at my sister-in-law's preschool. She runs a preschool for her work. And then I also, when I was student teaching, we did a preschool in the high school that I helped the kids run, the high school kids run. And then my own sister and I started an in-home preschool for our boys. And so we did 2 years of that. And then I did joy school for a couple of years. So we did like
you're a professional.
All kinds of preschool. And I'm just a pro at preschool, I guess. But I do really love it. I love that age. I love how excited they are to learn and how they just want to know it. And they can't wait every day to do school with you. They think it's so much fun.
It is so fun.
I love that about preschoolers. They're just eager. And so it's a really, really fun age to teach. And I think one of the most important things to remember when teaching preschoolers is to not pressure yourself and not put a lot of stress on yourself about the quantity of time or the quantity of materials that you do with them. It's really more about the learning experience than what you're covering.
Yes. And I think that kids come naturally so ready to learn.
Yeah.
They want to know everything. You're cooking. Oh, I want to cook too, right? Like dangerous things.
Yeah.
That they're like, oh, I want to do what you're doing.
They want to learn to do the dishes because look, everyone does it.
Yes. Like I want to be big too. And so it's kind of to keep that excitement going. Mm-hmm. Like learning is fun. Learning is great instead of like taskmaster, get it done so now you can enjoy life.
Trace letter A until you get it perfectly. It's not about that at all.
Right. Or my kid holds the pencil wrong. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm going to spend the next 3 weeks getting mad at them every time they hold the pencil because right. It's not the way I think they should hold the pencil.
So there's a lot of push on academics at this early age. It seems like it's getting younger and younger that kids are expected to read. And there have been a lot of studies. I've read different articles and things that talk about how earlier learning, like pushing them to learn at an earlier age, really doesn't help them in the long run because kids are going to naturally reach these cognitive milestones that they have in their development at certain times in life. So if you push it earlier, it's really not going to change their development. It's going to be the same. And it actually might hinder it in some ways because they're going to lose that love of learning that they could gain through the joyful times instead of the pressure of learning more and younger and younger. So really think about delighting your child in learning at this age and learning through play and exploration and just more hands-on stuff that is fun and lovely.
Yes. And it's interesting. And with the bonus of having so many kids is that I learn from my mistakes and then I have a bunch more kids to get better on.
Yeah.
With my two oldest boys, I felt like we did pretty good slowing down and doing it at their speed. But my first three are a year apart. So I made my daughter Bella do everything they were doing for my own peace of mind. Right. And I felt, and she's artsy. And if you follow me, she sings, mm-hmm. I mean, a beautiful voice and acting and the arts speak to her. And I was like, no, we're doing what the boys are doing. And so as I've progressed, her sister, who was a couple of years younger than her, I was able to do school more artsy the creative. And if you follow Karen, you know, she has the most brilliant creative ideas of teaching. And so painting, I think you have a cute one of spelling words on glass,
mm-hmm.
like fun stuff
just
like that. Like
markers on a window.
Yes. I was so like, brilliant. Fun. That's so cute. And then like, I have my little guy who's 8 now, Briggy, he's active. Like beyond crazy mm-hmm. active. And so his preschool was jumping on letters.
Yeah, that's how my son is too. And it was the same way. So there's going to be different styles of learning that kids are going to enjoy at that age, but they're going to all have different motivation levels as well. My oldest he knew all his letters and numbers at a year and a half.
Yeah, I was going to say he's the
it's
special.
It's really abnormal. And I've learned that, but because he was my first, I didn't understand that. And so my second daughter really struggled to even remember her letters. I would go through them again and again and again. Like for 2 years, I felt like we were trying to teach her letters and it wasn't sticking. And it was really about age 6 that it finally clicked and she finally started to be able to like read sight words and simple things like that. But I was panicking. Like, what is wrong with me or with her or something that she's not getting this when he was reading at 3, you know? And so you're really going to child to child, it's going to vary. And it's nothing you're doing wrong, and it's nothing wrong with your child. It's just the way we are as humans, and we have to be okay with that. And they're all going to have their different styles. And my next two that came along, their own beings as well, and you have to kind of roll with what their needs are.
I know it's fun with one of my preschoolers, my Joshy, he actually preferred Bella to teach him.
Oh.
So he liked his big sister. They always joke that mom didn't teach Joshua to read, Bella did. And I was like, well, thank you. Like, hey, well, I don't know why you're trying to make that a bad thing. But it was kind of fun that siblings can be a huge mm-hmm. part of this because they do. They want to be doing what the big kids are doing. Yeah. And it's fun and exciting to learn.
Yeah, and they love learning from the older kids as well. It can be a lot more fun than what mom might be doing.
Yes. Now, along the lines with what Karen was saying with her kids learning at different levels, you know, and is there something wrong? No, there probably isn't. But if you really feel like maybe my kid is dyslexic or something mm-hmm. like that, like don't listen to mother's intuition.
Yeah.
Somebody said this quote to me the other day, and I don't remember exactly, but they said a mother's intuition is way better than the 10 brightest doctors.
Oh, I love that.
Right? Like, you know, like something is not clicking mm-hmm. here. I need to figure it out. And that's an awesome path to like start researching.
You know, and I'll tell you, with my second daughter, she has pretty severe ADHD. And I did choose to medicate her. I know there's a lot of controversy on that, but I did. And when I did was when she actually was able to focus and read. So it was when it finally was able to click in her mind and she could hone in and remember these letters and focus long enough to start reading. And so it was what made the shift for her happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So definitely mother's intuition. Like, I think my kid just needs more time. Or no, I in my heart, in my gut, like I feel like
something is
off. And maybe your kid needs glasses.
Yeah.
Right? Like maybe it's a super simple fix, like, oh, you're blind. Oopsies, my bad. But you know what I mean? Like, trust your gut on that one. And
that's good advice.
Do relax. Like, it's not always a problem.
And it's not a race. Either.
No.
If Megan's kids are learning faster than mine, that's okay. It's not a race.
It really isn't, because you're learning your whole entire life.
Yeah.
So why think that you need to know everything by 18 is
silly. So during the preschool years, kids are really learning a lot, but a lot of it is going to be coming from experience of, you know, just living. But there's some important things that I think are good to cover during these ages. And I'll just go through, just a little list that I have. And it may sound like a lot, but they're really just basics. Just written out for you. But first, right and wrong. This is a really important time to help your kids understand your values and what you feel is right and what is wrong. They're going to learn letter recognition and sounds during that phrase. Maybe not sounds, maybe just to recognize the letters. The sounds kind of come a little later with the reading, but they might, a little
if they're ready.
There. Colors and shapes, numbers, number recognition, and then counting. Probably, to 10, maybe 20.
I was going to say, counting is an easy one. We do it going up and down stairs.
Yeah, we do a lot of counting just in everyday life.
And, yes.
And there's a lot of fun little books you can get to help them with those skills also. Letter tracing and pre-writing activities, the little tracing zigzag letter or zigzags and curves and things like that, just to help them learn to hold a pencil or a crayon. And fine motor skills, picking up with the pinch or grasp and different things like that. It's a really important time to just read to them a ton.
Read alouds are huge, and you're starting to build that relationship with them.
Yeah. We do so much reading with our kids that, and make reading a really joyful time as a family. If you're gathered together, snuggling on a couch in front of the fireplace with your blanket or, whatever it is that makes it a beautiful experience so that they hunger for it and they beg for it. And, they'll just love it.
I love, if you've listened to Read Aloud Revival, one of her big pushes are picture books. Mm-hmm. And it's been funny because I thought, no, I need to read the deep classics. And I still mix that in but I mix it in with some really awesome picture
books. There are some amazing picture books with just great moral lessons and just fun stories.
But even I had Lady Circumference Circumference, and his wife was Lady of Diameter. Yeah. And their son Radius. And they were silly stories. And my kid that was in fifth grade said, oh, I remembered what Radius was because he's half the size of his mom.
There's some really fun ways to teach kids concepts through cute little picture books like that
will
help them remember them more easily. And then also along with that, the literature, introducing them to beautiful art and music and nature and just getting them familiar with those kinds of things and enjoying it and just starting to develop that love that they'll have for it. Two more things, obedience. That's a really important thing that they need to learn during that time.
Because
they're really starting to push back during those years and want to be independent a little bit. And so it's good for them to learn, when they need to be obedient to mom and dad. And then finally learning to work, because that's an important skill.
A great one. And I was thinking about this as we're recording this on a Saturday. And I left my house and I said, okay, but when I come back, I need the kitchen clean, the lawn mowed, and the trees weeded.
I had a similar list at my house when I left. The lawn mowed, the bedroom's clean, the closet's clean.
Yes.
Things like that they're expected to be doing while I'm away from home.
But it started here with a one-on-one mentoring.
Yeah.
We're going to clean with you. We're going to show you how to weed. And now Karn and I have older kids, but it's because we can do that now and say, hey, we'll be back in a couple of hours and we need this done, because we've taken the time from the time they were little and taught them how to do these things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And they think it's fun. Like the baby has a broom and he loves to clean. And I thought, and it'll even put his clothes away. So I'm like, sweet.
Yeah, it's great. My mother-in-law just taught my five-year-old daughter the KonMari method of folding her clothes when I was out of town last week. And I came home and she was so excited to show me how her clothes were folded in her drawers because they looked so pretty.
And she's
so
we five,
practiced.
Right?
She's five. We practiced a few times with the new clothes we're putting in her drawer. And she's like, nope, that's not right. And she showed me the right way because I was doing it wrong apparently. And it was so cute how excited she was though about folding her clothes.
That's adorable. Great. Her daughter's adorable.
Oh, nice.
I think with this too, and maybe Karen's list, and I do a lot of those things too. Maybe it might sound like a lot. Like, so we're supposed to do a couple hours of preschool.
Oh, no, no.
It's like 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah. It's a very short amount of time.
Because that's what their attention span is.
Right. So Megan, do you use any kind of curriculum with your preschoolers?
I do. So, well, with letter recognition, I go off each child. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, with my last guy, I bought a rug from Costco mm-hmm. that had the alphabet and we would jump.
Yeah.
And he'd sing the song as he jumped the letters and shapes and colors. I actually had just found some cute game. And we would play a match game, like find the pink square. And so he's a big game. He loves to play games. But for writing, for handwriting, I've used Handwriting Without Tears.
Yeah, we've used that as well.
I really liked that one. I also like for maybe not preschool, so maybe this is kindergarten, but Explode the Code.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there are some that we were using this year with my youngest.
Okay,
that
I couldn't
are preschool
remember.
level. It's like called pre-A.
Okay, and it's ABC, right?
Yeah, yeah. We've used those this year also, and I love them. And we've been using The Good and the Beautiful preschool this year also,
okay.
And it's really cute and sweet. I like it a lot.
And then they're cutting books too. Mm-hmm. And that they have pretty covers. Is it Kumon?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
But I've used those cutting books and they're really fun because the pictures are really bright.
Yeah,
and so they
those.
Tried to do a better job mm-hmm. and really learn those scissor skills.
Yeah, those are a lot of fun. And one other thing that I've used that I like a lot in some ways. I kind of, I'll explain, but the Mother Goose Time preschool, it's really cute. And they deliver a whole box set for the whole month, and the month is a theme. And what I like about it is that there are crafts included and there are little picture books included and things like that. And it gives, you know, letters and numbers, and the lesson plan is completely laid out and super simple. So if you're one that tends to get overwhelmed with trying to plan, it's an easy one to pull out and go. And what I also loved about it is I could have my older kids do it for me some days when I wasn't able to. So I would just say, here's the lesson plan, pull out number 13, and that's where we're at, and just do the lesson. So it was a nice, quick, easy way for someone to do it. And we've done that on and off here and there, but not always.
Yeah. And I don't think I ever have because I don't want to feel tied down.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not tied down to it. I here or there if we want it.
Yes. But then they're included in our subject of the day. So they are being exposed to the arts and to nature and to tea time is a huge one at my house. Mm-hmm. So the music and composers, poetry, science, explorers, geography. So they're being exposed to this with the big kids and they're taking in what they can take in. Mm-hmm. And I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
And then I'm just plugging along and making sure they know some of those basic things. Mm-hmm.
So a kind of typical day for me teaching my preschooler, I'll usually do it when my older kids are working independently on some of their own schoolwork. So I have a little window that I can focus on my preschooler because they need you one-on-one. And we have a lot of just supplies on hand, like little counting objects and little puzzles and, you know, Play-Doh, things like that. So I'll just pull out something that interests them that day and I'll rotate what those are, something to just kind of play with. We do painting, we do learning games. Like Megan, I have a little alphabet mat that I actually made from a sheet and ribbon I sewed when my oldest was preschool age, and it's really fun. I can put a link to that. I have it on my blog in our show notes. But they just love to do it. So I'll spend, you know, 15-ish, 20 minutes with them doing, you know, some letter tracing, counting activities, building letters out of Play-Doh, whatever it might be. And I also have a little that I made this year, Letter of the Week principal series that I made. So it has different letter tracing and puzzles and things that you can print out. and a little letter craft and some book recommendations for each letter. So if you're going that route, it's a fun one.
You can, yeah. So Karen's whole website is full of great resources of fun things for cutting. You even have cutting on there, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Cutting and tracing and fun ways to do it. Her little preschooler, she has the cutest video of finding letters and she's hitting them with the fly swatter. I think we talked about that, but it's hilarious. But what a fun way to say, find the letter S. And instead of like, here's the letter S and holding up a sign, right? Like, find it. And she's like going wild.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like I said, I love teaching this age. It's a lot more work than some of the older kids might be because, I don't know, it's just more involved, but it's less time. And they're so cute and eager for it that it's really fun.
Yes. And so I would do, when I have preschoolers, my little guy, I'll probably start next year when he, as he turns three. But he's with us always right now. So he's being exposed to everything as is. And I do my minute with mom. Yeah. And so I do a one-on-one with all my kids. And so the preschooler just starts getting worked in to with their own minute with mom. Because right now George just always has mom and he's just on top of me.
And I just finished my last preschooler and it's a really weird feeling for me to be done with preschool.
Oh,
it's strange.
Yeah, it's definitely a very fun phase. I told my kids if they'll all homeschool, I'll do a day of homeschooling so I can still homeschool.
Oh, I love it. That's cool.
So if you guys are feeling a little bit stuck and you are wanting help with some picking up curriculum and doing those types of things, I am your gal. That I love this. I've been doing homeschool for 11 years. And so I started doing some homeschool consulting and saying, let's pick your curriculum together. And we'll give you even a checklist for each of your children with what their curriculum will be for that term. So that is something that I'm now offering. So in the show notes, it'll just be linked to my website.
And that's Megan talking.
That is. You know our voices by now.
Well, maybe not. But yes, she's amazing. And she has, she's going to be an awesome resource for people that want help building out their curriculum.
I'm very organized and my kids go, ooh, do you love, or don't you like, they were saying that, like, that's so fun. Like, Karen, you can sing, like, ooh, mom, you like making things organized. Thank you.
It's a very good quality. Take it.
Yeah. So it just made me giggle, but I'm good at it and I'd love to help anybody with that.
Yeah, so thank you so much for tuning in today. And our next week's episode will be about elementary school. So if that's the phase that you're in, come back next week to hear that one. And we will talk to you guys later.
All right, see you.
Thanks for listening to Called to Homeschool. Don't forget to subscribe and share and like and comment and all the things. You can find us at calledtohome.com or at teachbesideme.com and thehippiemama.org.